The narrative of a rising Africa is being challenged. About 10 years ago, I spoke about an Africa of hope and opportunity, an Africa of entrepreneurs, an Africa very different from the Africa that you normally hear about of death, poverty, and disease.
Hello world, it's your man Ben Carson again, and I'm here with a new episode on this Black Week Tonight Africa Rising podcast, and I'm so excited once again. I think every day when I sit behind this mic or when I sit in front of the mic in the studio, I'm full of excitement. And today it's not going to be your typical chat or interview. We bring a typical example of the Black Excellence episode. Today we are going to talk about someone, an African, a true blood, one of our own, who has risen through the ranks and is making the headlines, especially this week and the week before, making us all proud as Africans, as Black community, and even as women. Now, one of the things that have been actually controversial, women empowerment and all that. And this lady is an embodiment of a whole lot, trying to empower women. And today you are going to learn about how someone can tell the African girl child is that there's no limit to how you dream. We are going to be right back. It's your man, Ben Carson, on this Black Week Tonight podcast. It's a typical example of Black Excellence episode. And we are going to talk about somebody representing Africa, women and Blacks at the world stage of play. We'll be right back.
I will say that it's both exciting and daunting at the same time to be here, because I take the reins of the WTO at a time of great uncertainty and challenge. So the WTO is at this point in time is also facing so many challenges. And it's clear to me that deep and wide-ranging reforms are needed. And as I said before, it cannot be business as usual.
Now we are right back, and we are going to talk about Dr. Okonjo-Iweala. Now, she has Ngozi to the name, and I'm always is a little bit sensitive whenever I want to talk about the name Ngozi, because those that are very familiar to African folktales and folklores have a different picture when you talk about Ngozi. There's this bulky woman, sort of, who is very quarrelsome in the Nigerian folktales and drama and movie industry, who always come in with a fight. And I think she used that name sometime in a movie somewhere, and that is what most Ghanaians or most Africans think of when it comes to the name Ngozi. But then, yeah, there's a paradigm shift. There's a change of how some names, man, can have a different impact. So Dr. Ngozi, actually the Ngozi was added recently. She used to be Okonjo-Iweala, taking the Iweala from the husband, who is Ikemba Iweala. Now let's dive in straight. Do you enjoy using Twitter, social media, Instagram, anything? Now that is your typical woman. She is making it enjoyable for you, especially those on Twitter. She is sitting currently on the board of Twitter, those that manage the social media platform. And Twitter became even much more popular during the administration of the one-time president of the United States, President Donald Trump, with his tweet, popular and famous tweets that always make the headlines. Now, if you're also in the financial sector or in the banking sector, probably you have some money at the bank, or you are trading, you are into banking, finance. This is your typical woman. In fact, she sits on the board of Standard Chartered Bank. And well, this is a popular bank, sponsoring a whole lot of activities worldwide, in terms of sports, in terms of aid, environmental projects and all that. So this lady is also your typical woman over there. Dr. Okonjo or Dr. Ngozi is your typical woman. Now, you don't even need to be straight up into health for you to start have a concern about global health. For the past 1 year now, one of the headlines or the things that have been an embodiment of our lives is COVID. And as a light of hope at the end of the tunnel, we are all putting our hopes on these vaccines that are going on worldwide. Now, if you need your typical person who is also fully represented in this vaccination issue, is Dr. Ngozi, who sits on the board of the Global Alliance for Vaccines and Immunization. Now, I've made mention of three aspects of her life. Now, in the social media, which is virtually what makes us happy, especially in COVID. Now, you don't really get to meet people while we are social distancing. So now, our friends are on social media. So there's a typical lady, fully represented over there. Money, they say, is the new oxygen. Now, your lady, Dr. Ngozi, is fully represented there. Now, another aspect that we are looking at as humans to sustain our lives, at least in a short time, is... it's not oxygen anymore, it's vaccine, because now we are blocking oxygen with our nose masks and we are waiting for vaccine immunization. Now, she is also fully represented at a Gavi board. Now, this is a portfolio that a lady has built as a career straight up from the scratch. Now, apart from all this portfolio, now let's look at something that has also brought her into the limelight in the past. Now, Dr. Okonjo-Iweala has also received numerous recognitions and awards. She has been listed as one of the 50 greatest world leaders by Fortune in 2015. She has also been listed as one of the top most 100 influential people in the world by the Times magazine in 2014. She has also been listed as the top 100 global thinkers by Foreign Policy, also a magazine, in 2011 and 2012. That's consecutive. Now, she has also been listed as the top most powerful woman in the world. Now, women, yeah, I want you to be hitting your fingers, by Forbes. Now, this is, listen to this, in 2011, 2012, 2013 and 2014. Now, listen to this also. She has also been lifted as one of the top three most powerful women in Africa. Now, that's a great deal. By Forbes again. Now, the top most 100 influential women in Africa. That's the top 10. So, by Forbes this time in 2011. That's the previous year. She has also been listed as the top 100 women in the world by The Guardian in 2011. She has also been listed as the top 150 women in the world. Now, that's a great deal. We are speaking about billions of women in the world, and she's among the first 150. This is a great deal. By the Newsweek in 2011. Now, it looks like 2011, 2012 was the peak year for Dr. Ngozi. Now, we will dive well into it to see what was actually taking place that brought her up to this peak. She has also been listed as the top most 100 inspiring people in the world, delivering for girls and women by Women Deliver in 2011. She was also listed among 73 brilliant. Now, we are speaking about the IQ here. 73 brilliant business influencers in the world by Condé Nast International. Now, in 2019, that's recently, Dr. Ngozi Okonjo-Iweala was selected to the American Academy of Arts and Sciences. She was also conferred high national honors from the Republic of Cote d'Ivoire and the Republic of Liberia at the same time. This is a portfolio that you can't just put away. And now, what actually made her or brought her into the limelight once more is her election to the highest office of the World Trade Organization as a Director General. And this, people say, or policy analysts and observers and stakeholders have said that this should have been a long time ago. And today we are going to look at who this woman is. In fact, I first got to hear about her when she was listed as one of the 73 brilliant business influencers in the world by Condé Nast. That was what I heard about her. And when I saw her in the pictures, she was an embodiment of Africa. Her jewelry, her clothes, the abada, as Nigerians call it, and the Ghanaians call it the kaba and the slit. This lady will just slay you with the African print all over. And I fell in love with this woman. Not amorous. I fell in love with the lady. And so that is our typical lady as Africans. And we have to be proud as Africans, as blacks, and especially the women out there, the African girl child, your dream has no limit. We are going to dive straight in into the childhood. Just look at who this lady is, where she began from. Now, in the year somewhere in 1954, the father of Dr. Ngozi, Mr. Okonjo, who was then the chief of the Ogwashi Uku traditional area, I would say in the Delta State of Nigeria. Now, the Delta State is one of the famous states in Nigeria because of their oil and their agricultural significance to the Nigerian economy and the federal government economy. And she from the Ogwashi Uku, which is the western side of the state capital. And the place where she's coming from is a place with a population of a little above 50,000. And so it's not your typical big city, neither is it a very small area. Now, since the father was the Obi and actually a professor from the Royal Bahai family, you can say she was perfectly into the middle class. So in terms of her education, she could, the father could afford to enroll her in some of the best, at least in the state. So she went to one of the popular schools, Queen's School, primary and junior high school, and then went to the St. Anne's School, which is one of the most, one of the oldest girls' schools, seminar schools in Nigeria. And that is where she went for high school. Now, after high school, she went straight to United States, where she was enrolled at Harvard. Now, I'm speaking about Harvard. As a teenager, at the age of about 19 years, Doctor arrived at Harvard University, where she started studying economics. And in the year 1973, so straight up, she got into Harvard in 1973, enrolled in economics, and in 1976, that's like 3 years tops, she was done with A, B in economics. And interestingly, she just didn't finish Harvard in economics, but she was awarded the title of Magna Cum Laude, which is a Latin word for the great, something like the great. So it's more like distinction within distinction. So you can't write her off with her academic prowess. Now, 5 years later, she will go on to earn her PhD in regional economics at Massachusetts Institute of Technology. I'm speaking about MIT. So this is not your typical economic woman or economics lady, but she is also a little bit, well, into IT. I know if you go to MIT, at least there should be some fundamental of IT that should be embedded in your genes. And you find this in the later part of her career. We will dive a little bit into it later on. Now, one thing that made her or sponsored her academics with her doctoral degree was a scholarship or a fellowship, as we call it, from the American Association of University Women that supported her doctoral degree. Now, in terms of academics, this lady, Dr. Okonjo-Iweala, you can't stop loving her or you can't stop admiring this woman, has received 14 honorary awards, 14 honorary awards or honorary awards or recognition from about 11 universities, including the University of Pennsylvania, Amherst University, Yale, Trinity College in Dublin, Brown University, Kobe College, and Northern Caribbean University also in Jamaica. So she is your typical lady. Now, she has also earned some degrees from some of the top universities in Africa. You can speak of Abia State University, Delta State University, Ododowa University, and Babcock University. Yes, the Adventist University, and the University of Port Harcourt. She's an embodiment of education, someone who is constantly trying to broaden the knowledge and trying to make her voice heard through whether it has to be through the through education, through mountain of platforms. She's spoken at a lot of TED Talks, and I've listened to several of them. She's your typical lady who wants to make change, who wants to effect the change that is spoken of. She just don't want to sit on the fence, and you can see that in her portfolio. Now, let's dive a little bit straight up into how she came to be recognized as a fit for the trade mess that we are facing, looking at the rift between China and America, their trade wars. Now, we need a fixer, and why is she the person to fix it? Let's dive a little bit into her career in the federal state government of Nigeria. Dr. Okonjo Iweala, as you popularly know her to be, or as Okonjo Iweala, she is your typical trailblazer also in career governance, in her career in governance. She is the first lady or the first woman to serve under two separate governments in different times. So from 2003 to 2006, under the leadership of President Olusegun Obasanjo, from 2003 to 2006, she was the Nigeria finance minister. And interestingly, due to the role, the critical role that she played in during that administration. You have the Euro Money, which is an English journal or magazine that is published monthly about finance and all that, rated her in 2005 as the finance minister globally of the year. And this is at the top of it. You can't take it off. You can't really take it off. Now, in 2003, among some of the things that she did that actually brought her here is, you can see right when she took the tax, she led effort to improve Nigeria's macroeconomic management, including an implementation of the oil price-based fiscal rule, which made revenues that were being accrued above the reference benchmark from the oil prices be kept in what she called the excess crude account, and which actually really helped for some sort of macroeconomic stability, curbing the volatility that was realized in Nigeria by then. Now, this and many more are some of the things that go before her. Now, in the second time of her finance ministry under the watch of the ex-world president Goodluck Jonathan, there's something interesting here. you know, whenever we talk about Nigeria, a lot of people want to associate the state or the country with some sort of corruption and that. In as much as corruption is there, it's unequivocal that corruption is everywhere. In the States, United States, in China, in everywhere, there's some sort of corruption everywhere. But in terms of dealing with that of Nigeria, you have your typical lady coming from MIT. I spoke about that earlier, that she brought the MIT ship into her ministry by setting up what we call the Integrated Payroll and Personal Information System, shortly known in Nigeria as IPIS, which actually helped to integrate all people that were on government payroll electronically. Now that's the MIT I'm talking about. And by doing that, she was able to eliminate over 62,890 people from the payroll. These people were ghost names, like non-existent people who were being paid monthly. You can't get enough of this in a lot of African states, but yeah, it is what it is. It's everywhere. But she tried to do that, and as a result of that, saved over $1.25 billion into the Nigerian treasury. This is your typical woman that you can't do away with. And as a result of the financial stability that she brought into Nigeria, you have her moving the credit rating of Fitch and Standard & Poor's of the United States, the rating credit agency, taking it to BB- from where it was, probably in a C somewhere. So she has paid her toll in the Nigeria ministry. She also instituted the monthly accountability of all the states of Nigeria. So what it meant is that every month all the states will make account of whatever was going on, and this really helped in eliminating some sort of bottlenecks and corruptions that were going on, because if you know you have to come and give account every month, there's nothing like some money passed here and so far. You have to come clear and clean, else a monthly report is difficult to lie, my friend. So she is that lady that just don't sit on the fence and make suggestions. She steps in, put in measures, and try to implement them. Now, among the numerous things that she has also done, Dr. Okonjo-Iweala has also formed some research institutes and organizations in Africa. Now, you can think about the first opinion research poll in Nigeria that is popularly known as a NOI polls or NOI polls in Nigeria. She instituted that. She has also founded the Center for Study. She has also founded the Center for the Study of the Economics of Africa, that is also shortly known as C-SEA. And all these policy and research institutes that are helped to change the narrative about Africa. Now, in 2019, she was part of the UNESCO's International Commission on the Futures of Education, which is chaired by Sahel Wagzudi. Your typical lady would feel comfortable in some of these portfolios, but no, something interesting and fascinating about our lady is she keeps flying high to look at opportunities and problems up there and try to provide solutions. Now, when the situation of China and America trade war came, we have the Director General of the World Bank resign, and then with a vacancy, we needed someone to fix things. And that is where in 2020, the president of Nigeria, President Muhammadu Buhari, nominated Dr. Okonjo-Iweala as the country's candidate to be the Director General of the World Trade Organization. It wasn't like a smooth contest or just a one-time thing. Now you have a contest that was being contested by a lot of people, but she made it to the finals with Korea's Yo Myung-hee. Yo Myung-hee is also coming in with a portfolio that is, you would say, nowhere near that of Dr. Ngozi. Yo Myung-hee is the current Minister for Trade of South Korea. She's also the first woman to hold the position. Over the past 25 years, she has worked in various government agencies since it passed to the Korean State Civil Servant Exam in 1991. Now, she's also a lawyer, actually. She earned her law degree in the United States and practiced a little bit. So you have a lawyer coming in to challenge a position that is fully economic and finance, with someone with this credibility and portfolio that has been built, put through the furnace, and churned out as pure gold through finance and economics. And so you would say she was no match anyway. But then we have the almighty controversial Donald Trump, who wasn't putting in the bid for Dr. Ngozi because Trump feared that Dr. Ngozi would be compromised, since she was coming from Africa that has for quite some time now dependent on Europe and also China, and looking at her trade wars with China, she felt Dr. Ngozi coming from Africa would be compromised along the way to effect solutions that will put the United States stakes in jeopardy. And so here, Donald Trump wasn't willing to put in the bid in for Dr. Ngozi, and that's why there was some sort of a 7-month lap or delay or vacancy for this position. But when President Biden and Harris came, and you know their affiliation to pro-black and freedom and all that came, and so that is where a call was made straight from Biden. I wouldn't be here to give you the script of what actually transpired, but there was a call that went on between Biden and Yo Myung-hee, which brought about her resignation, leaving only Dr. Okonjo-Iweala in the race. Now, that was how, on Monday, the 1st of March, this lady walked to the office of the Secretary General of the World Trade Organization in her perfect abada. It was something that you couldn't miss. It was wonderful, it was remarkable, and important of it all, it was history. I want to talk to the typical African person that there's nothing like the white man is superior in terms of mental capacity, in terms of education, in terms of critical thinking, than anyone of color. This is motivation, this is hope, this is drive, and I hope that we will look up to Dr. Okonjo-Iweala to look at the portfolio and the career that she had built. Now, if you happen to have a look at come across a vessel or a sailing boat that is actually sailing with a lot of cargo, just think about her. She's managing all that, and she started from a place with a population of over just a little over 50,000, Ogwashi Uku traditional area in the Delta State. And whenever I look at her eyes, the lips that is clashed together with the glasses that is peeping through the hair behind the ears, and the perfect above the head cap or the headband that is made from the typical traditional African print, I see hope for Africa. Not even the necklace, but her way of drawing home points with perfectly aligned points and programs and things with perfect points and pragmatic measures that is formulated to be the blueprint of a change in wherever that she has found herself to be. It gives me hope. And today, we have spoken about Dr. Okonjo-Iweala. Now, we didn't speak so much about the marital affairs. Now, she is married to Mr. Ikemba Iweala, and they have 4 children, including the famous Uzodinma Iweala. Now, Uzodinma Iweala is a doctor and an author and a writer. And if you haven't read any of his books, now, you probably have heard about this movie that was premiered on Netflix, The Beast of No Nation. It's actually a book that was written by the son of Dr. Ngozi, and that is Uzodinma Iweala. He is the author of that best-selling book, that was made into the movie where there was this Ghanaian child, Abraham Atta, and Idris Elba, this tribal war over resources and all that in a typical African state. And so that is the career that this lady has actually built. You cannot write her off. And that is the reason why she is making the headlines. As we speak, she is also part and member of a whole lot of agencies, NGOs, and all that. You can take your time and get to blow your own mind when you take your time to read a little bit about Dr. Ngozi Eriela. As we speak, she is a member of the Board of Trustees for the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, and that is since 2019. She is also a member of the Advisory Board for the Bloomberg New Economic Forum, and this is since 2018. She's also a member for the Board of Directors for the Resorts for Development since 2014. All these are NGOs. Apart from her 25-year-old career in the World Bank, that made her rise to the second in command, I would say, of the World Bank. She is a Women's World Banking Advisory Board member, and this is since 2014. She's also a member of the Board of Friends of the Global Fund Africa since 2007. She's also a member of the Advisory Board for Global Financial Integrity. Now, if you are looking to follow her, you can follow her on Instagram at Ngozi_Florence_Iweala. You can also read about her at NgoziOkonjo-Iweala.com. And that is your typical African woman, and you don't want to miss it with our next episode. So that is your typical African woman, and that is how far we can go if you put our mind to elevating ourselves. Where we are now as Africans, we need people like her. We need people who defy all odds to strive for knowledge, intellect, and be problem solvers. And you never know, the sky is your limit. Now this is the Black 69 podcast, and I'm your host, Bequeen Bernard Buoma. You can call me Ben Carson, and today we brought to you a typical of our episodes that will look at Black's excellence, trying to profile some of our heroes that are worth celebrating. Today we spoke about Dr. Okonjo-Iweala for making the headlines about her new position as the Director General of the World Trade Organization. That is after her 25-year-old career in the World Bank. This is the Black's Week Tonight African Rising Podcast. You can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and on the web at www.blacktreestonight.com. We are also coming up with a YouTube channel that will be BWT Africa Rising with Ben Carson. And stay tuned for more. You can help to review our podcast on Spotify, Anchor, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you pick your podcast. Until then, see you.